This is an hour that we're called to become something. Amen? And there are those that are content, and we found this in Africa, that are content to work for him. And we even worked among Canadian missionaries that were with us, who brought us there. And we found that their identity was their ministry. Our identity is not our ministry. Our identity is Christ.
Yes.
And even if you're not ministering, God is still with you. John found that out. Now, how do I say? Why is it important? Because everything God does in the Old Testament, he does in the New. Let's go to Revelation. What happens when the churches backslide? Does Jesus write them off? He walks among the candlesticks. He walks among them. And some of us, maybe for a long time now, have not felt or heard the voice of God. And I believe that the voice of God leads through many ways. He can speak a word into our hearts. He can use fire and trials to drop us off where we need to be, right? Or it can be as we're just walking with God, we walk into a new realm of him without even being aware. I don't think everything has to be a struggle. God uses many means to get us to where we're going. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to get from point A to point B, there will be a conflict. Satan will fight you, and your flesh will resist it. But the Lord will not forsake you because he's walking with you in the cool of the day. Now, let's look at this atmosphere. The word cool in the Hebrew means wind. Praise God. God provided the garden. He provided the wind. And so when the wind began to blow, Adam knew where he needed to be, right? But Adam was in the right spot, but he hid himself. And so everything that Adam needed was provided. How many are glad for the sovereignty of God? For years, I have been being asked all the time, is it the sovereignty or is it the free will? You know, God wants to answer your questions. And sometimes God wants to answer it by saying it's both. It's the sovereignty and the free will of God. Arlene had a question on her. One of our favorite all-time songs at Reading was called, Father, Shall I Go? And the debate was, and Arlene said, well, I got to call David Valori because he would know. And I said, I believe it was Annette Marshnick, which is a dear Bible teacher. Clayton knows her. And she traveled with Jewel Courtney. And Jewel and Annette spoke in this church when Brother McKinnon was pastor. And so Arlene calls David. And David says, Annette Marshnick gave the first verse, Sergio Valori gave the second verse, and another sister gave the third verse, all in one service. And that's the way it was in the old days. It wasn't, let's pick to hymn number 52. We were in meetings where songs were born of the Spirit. Brother Johnson knows this in Carolyn. Songs that were birthed on the spot by God. I mean, you're glad for that. They're birthed right in a meeting. I believe that God wants that today. He wants to put a new song in you. I'm singing glory to God. And the voice of God. He's walking today in the cool of the day. He's walking in here today. He's walking to you. Will you receive him? I want to be like Bartimaeus. Oh, son of David, have mercy on me. The greatest honor that you could give to Jesus was to call him a king. Instantly, this is why many don't get healed, because they don't acknowledge the lordship of Christ. Catherine Marshall, who some may have heard of, her husband was a chaplain of the Senate, and he used to open up the Senate in prayer, and the senators used to say, now we know what it's like for a man when he's ready to be executed, because he used to pray that God would lift the judgments of God off the nation. And Catherine Marshall was dying of tuberculosis. And she said, Lord, I want more of you. If you don't want to heal me, it's fine. And she wrote a book called I Want More. And even though her husband would die later on, she would be baptized in the Holy Ghost, brought up to be a Presbyterian. and she would also be healed. And her husband said to her, that's all God wanted. God just wanted the relinquishment of your life. And if you get healed, fine. One way or the other, you win. If you go to heaven, you're with Jesus. If you get healed, you're a testimony to people. Praise God. How many are glad for that? Praise the Lord. Where's our garden? It's where we've been placed. There's a lot of blessing where we've been placed. But we also might be in the enclosed garden they talk about in Song of Solomon. Garden of Gethsemane was an enclosed garden. There was only one way out for Jesus. It was through the cross. And it was the Father. The prayer that Jesus prayed was put into him by the Father. Not my will, but thine be done. It wasn't Jesus that prayed it alone. It was the Father that prayed it through him. Because he was willing. He was willing. That's all the Lord wants to know. If we're willing. Praise God. He's more than able, isn't he? Amen. It's wonderful when we know that God is walking with us. But let's not stay there. That's elementary. We don't want to forever just be telling people, okay, you're saved, you got grace, God's with you. But he's eventually looking for somebody that walks with him. And this is where we need to go now into Hebrews 11. We'll see a man who's a little different than, how many know some people always need somebody walking with them? Did you ever meet them? Oh, brother, I need you again. Please help me. But sooner or later, the baby walks. How many know that? God is looking for something different than somebody who just wants room service from Jesus. Please come to where I am, Jesus. Give me the gifts. Give me the Holy Spirit. More grace, more grace, more grace. But the Lord is saying, but I need somebody who will let me lead and will walk with me. And that's Enoch. And there's a lot of people don't know a lot about Enoch. We're going to even talk about why he walked alone. We know he was married. He had a child named Methuselah. And the word Methuselah means God will judge. And that's what God did later on through the ministry of Noah. You see? We're going to find out in a little while why Enoch wasn't that liked or received. But let's look at Hebrews 11. And we want to look at this man. He was not, and God took him. I'm going to say this about Enoch. He was not before he was not. Sounds confusing, doesn't it? He was not before he was not. He was invisible. And the more you walk with God, the less bragging you have. Oh, Jesus. You don't need to brag about your past accomplishments, your ministry, all that God did for you. We heard a lot of that in Africa, even among the white people, bragging about their own ministry and what God did. All we can say is, Jesus, I want to glory in nothing but in you and in you crucified. Hallelujah. And Enoch walked with God, and it appears that he didn't do very much. By faith, verse 5, Enoch was translated, which means he was transferred. And God knows when it's time to transfer. Praise God. Don't ask God to transfer you to heaven. He might have another plan. Amen. That he should not see death. It was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, the testimony of God does not mean something we testify when the pastor says, who has testimony? Testimony means we not only speak something, but we are what we speak. The testimony represents a purpose that people can actually see in your life. I love Jesus. Well, as you walk with that person, you'll find out if they really love him. Our testimony is not what we say. Our testimony is what we are. Hallelujah. And he walked with God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he cometh to God to believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He became so invisible, became so godlike, that God needed company. And he took Enoch. There was nothing left for him. God had a need. Adam never fulfilled the need God had. The gospel that's preached in Canada and the USA today is all man-centered. We've been saved. We've been forgiven. Don't forget that. You can have healing. You can have the gifts. How many know it's man-centered? Enoch was about being God-centered. God was looking for somebody to walk with him. Now, thank God that he's still walking. And you know, he walks with me even when I don't feel him. He's there. Praise God. I believe that God is with us. Praise the Lord. My brother-in-law and I were at a baseball game yesterday. And that was an interesting challenge. And my wife and Carolyn went to the exhibition. And we're coming back and we're tracking up all these steps and everything. And Don asks, well, where's the train that we should take? And he said, well, we're still waiting on it. And all these people are waiting, and the train is sitting right there, ready to take off. And Don says, I know that train is ready to go. And then he gets on, and we're hoping that somehow we make contact with Arlene and Carolyn. And we say, I hope they get on this same train. And then we began to discuss, well, why don't we believe God for one more step? How about them coming right into this car? And that's exactly what happened. Hey, Jesus can be with me at a baseball game, right? He walks with me even when I have no intent to walk with him. If he's touched you, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of him. And I was in college, and I became lukewarm toward the Lord. Only one of my uncles really knew what was going on. I wasn't going to church. Well, the only church that was in town was a Baptist. And I didn't want to go there. But I still was not walking with the Lord as I should. Began taking up drinking. So I used to hang out at the gym with the athletes. I used to like to hang out in the weight room. If you look at me, it did nothing. I was a 90-pound weakling that people used to kick sand in the face. I hung out with these guys. I loved them. And they loved me. This one guy said to me, you know, he says, I'm going to get you a blind date. It's about time you get a date. And I said, okay. He said, you meet me here. He said, I'm going to get you a beautiful girl to meet. Meanwhile, I go to a fraternity house, not doing anything bad, but I have a glass of beer in my hand. I'm not doing anything spiritual. There's no reading. And God says to me, you're not going on that blind date. And this guy's big. I'm afraid, like, if I let him down. He said, you're not even going to show up at that place. You're not even going to go to that gym. I said, but and Lord, you love me. I'm sitting here with a beer in my hand. I want to go to that party. And God says, no, you're going to go home and wait on me. And forget the whole thing. And through a number of witnesses, I found out that it was quite the drug party. Those were the days when LSD tablets got dropped in your glasses, whether you wanted one or not. The girl waited all night for a date, never showed up, and there was a drug bust there, and God spared me. Now, don't tell me that God doesn't walk with you in the cool of the day. I wasn't doing anything spiritual. I believe he still walks with me even when I'm not reading my Bible. He walks with me even when I'm not in church. He walks with me even when I want to throw in the towel. He's there. Praise God. So don't think for one minute that I deny that he doesn't walk with us in the cool of the day. But what I'm trying to bring out is that God is looking for somebody that will walk with him.